Well, good evening. Good to see you in the house of the Lord this evening. Before I get started, anybody that's going Christmas caroling, I was told I need to remind you of this. This is normally something that I head up, but I won't be here. And it's going to be on Saturday. For you seniors, basically they're going to want you when you get back from your partying and everything that you're doing with the lemons, right, to come by the church here at 4 o'clock, and they're going to carol to you. And then maybe go out and hit a few of the shut-ins as well and carol to them. So if you can take the reins for that, I know Brother Aldridge, Brother Justin, and Dan, I think, are all taking up on that. Also for us, we're loading the truck tomorrow night. I need as many strong backs as we can possibly have there. 7 o'clock tomorrow evening, and Kelly will feed you. So you can't beat that deal right there. She's even making some apple cake, so you might want to come for that, if nothing else. So, okay, Proverbs chapter number 20. I preached this at the church on Sunday night and have not been able to shake it. And I told the Lord, I said, Lord, we really don't need that at Conesty, but I guess we do, because the Lord wouldn't let me off on it. So, Proverbs chapter 20, a very interesting Christmas message, right? Okay, if you found your place, verse number 1 says, wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. I'm going to preach tonight on the destructive nature of alcohol. The destructive nature of alcohol. Let's ask the Lord to help us. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we sure do love you. Thank you, Lord, for our church. And Lord, thank you for the blessing this church has been to us. Lord, at a time when we came in on a broken piece of the ship, Lord, this place was here for us. And Lord, we sure do thank you for it. Lord, I thank you for our pastor. Thank you for the instruction that he's placed into our hearts and our lives. Lord, I know that we would be in a whole different place today if it wasn't for this church. Lord, I thank you so much, Lord, for sending us here. Thank you, Lord, that we're not leaving. We're just being sent out. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for this place. I pray that you keep this light burning brightly until you come again. I pray for fellowship, Lord, there in Williamston. Lord, I pray that you keep that light burning till you come. Lord, I pray that you'd use us there to be an honor and a glory to you, Lord. I pray that everything that's said and done, Lord, to bring honor and glory to you. I pray, Lord, now for the preaching. Lord, I come here, Lord, with a very weighty text. And, Lord, I pray that you'd help me tonight. Preach through me the words that you'd have said. Set a guard at my lips. And, Lord, that I'd say nothing I shouldn't say. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, you may be thinking, why would you preach a message about alcohol at Christmas time? Did you know that most people that drink at Christmas and New Year's more than any other time of the year? Some drink socially. Others drink out of depression. Maybe they've had a mate that has passed away or maybe has ran off with someone else. And a lot of times they'll drink to try to drown out that sorrow. We live in a day when alcohol runs through our streets like water. I was just reading the news this week where the University of South Carolina is now going to start selling alcohol at their sporting events. And this is not even frowned on by religious people anymore. There are many so-called pastors and religious leaders that say, oh, it's all right to have a little drink as long as you don't get drunk. But the Bible doesn't look at it favorably at all. Our text says, wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. A study was done among Southern Baptist church members a few years back. And when asked anonymously, many confessed that they had wine or beer in their refrigerator. You know, like I say, even many so-called pastors are now saying that it's okay to have a drink as long as you don't get drunk. But are they right? Let me give you this quote. You know you've gone blind when you see nothing wrong with something that God has called sin. You know you've gone blind when you see nothing wrong with something that God has called sin. And he makes it very clear in his word that we're not to partake. I see the first thing, wine is a mocker. The very first mention in our King James Bible about wine is in Genesis 9 and verse 21, talking of Noah. And he drank of the wine and was drunken, and he was uncovered within his tent. One of the good ways to study our Bible on any topic is the first mentioned principle. When it's first mentioned in the Bible, it often gives us a clear picture of what God thinks about a particular subject. And here in this text, Noah has gotten drunken, and as so many drunks often do, he takes his clothes off and brings shame upon himself and upon his family. Many fall into the sins that accompany nakedness when they get drunk. The very next sin that we see in our Bible associated with wine is the sin of Lot with his own daughters. And that was in Genesis 19, verse 32 through 35. When people become intoxicated, they will do things that they would never have done if they were sober. Wine is a mocker. The priests in the Bible were commanded to not drink wine or strong drink. In Leviticus 10, verse 9, God said, "Do not drink wine nor strong drink, thou nor thy sons with thee, when ye go into the tabernacle of the congregation, lest ye die. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generation." Numbers 6, 3, "He shall separate himself from wine and strong drink, and shall drink no vinegar of wine or vinegar of strong drink, neither shall he drink any liquor of grapes, nor eat moist grapes or dried." The Bible distinguishes as well between wine, which is the fruit of the vine, and that wine that is fermented or strong drink. Flip over to chapter 23. Chapter 23, verse 29. Like I say, an interesting Christmas message, but I think it's very fitting and we need to learn. Verse 29. "Who hath woe? Who hath sorrow? Who hath contentions? Who hath babbling? Who hath wounds without cause? Who hath redness of eyes?" And he answers the question, "They that tarry long at the wine, they that go to seek mixed wine. Look not thou upon the wine when it is red, when it giveth its color in the cup, when it moveth itself aright. At the last it biteth like a serpent and stingeth like an adder. Thine eyes shall behold strange women, and thine heart shall utter perverse things. Yea, thou shalt be as he that lieth down in the midst of the sea, or as he that lieth upon the top of a mast. They have stricken me, shalt thou say, and I was not sick. They have beaten me, and I felt it not. When shall I awake? I will seek it yet again." You know, no one ever started out with the intent of being the town drunk. But I will warn you, when you play with fire, you're going to get burned. And in these verses, we see a number of key things. Number one, this wine caused woe. It caused sorrow. It caused contention. It caused babbling or a loose tongue. It caused self-inflicted wounds and redness of the eyes. If you've ever been around a drunk, you know how crazy they can be. One minute they're laughing, they're happy. The next minute they're crying. The one minute they're all happy. The next minute they're ready to fight you. They're so out of control. And that's what this strong drink, this wine, will do to you. It will cause you to lose your ability to reason. It will cause you to do things that you never would have done if you were sober. Secondly, we see that he isn't speaking about grape juice or biblical wine that is unfermented. He's clearly speaking of fermented wine. Look at verse 31. It says, "When it moveth itself aright." This is when that fermentation is taking place. And thankfully, I know nothing about that. I was saved in a Christian home, know not one thing about it. But I can tell you, based on the Word of God, that it is wrong, it is a sin, and if you get taken in by that sin, you're going to regret it. Look at the third thing. Wine and strong drink will cause a person to do things that they would normally not do. Look at verse 23. He says, "Thine eyes shall behold strange women, and thine heart shall utter perverse things." I'll tell this story here. Kelly's dad. His dad was a bad drunk. And they said he would come in And he was just an angry drunk. Come in, tear the house apart, just a bad drunk. And one night, he came in, and Brother Durden then was just a little baby, probably about Millie's age. And he was asleep in his crib, and his dad set his crib on fire. Nearly killed him. The man was intoxicated, his brain wasn't working right, and he about killed his own child. Wine will cause you strong drink. Liquor, beer, will cause you to do things that you never would do if you were sober. Story doesn't end there. A few years later, he was in church. God got a hold of his heart. And he hit the altar and gave his heart to Christ. But story doesn't end there either. That night, he left the church building, was walking across the street, and got hit and killed by a car. That man came that close to being forever in hell without the Lord. But Proverbs 23, verse 33 says, "Thine eyes shall behold strange women." It will cause lust, and it will cause a person to act and talk stupidly. You've seen those that get drunk, and they'll talk and act inappropriately. You've seen those women act in ways that are inappropriate. We were on our way to North Carolina this past weekend, and we stopped in at a rest area. And this bus pulled in right in behind us, and out came all these people. They all had their beer. And I mean, they were drunk. And a whole bunch of women, I mean, they were loud, obnoxious. And I'm like, that doesn't wear well on you. If they would have seen how they were acting, they would have thought, wow, that's me. These people would never have acted that way normally. But when that alcohol got in, it caused their ability to reason to depart. You've seen the little guy that gets drunk. Let's see, where's a good little guy in here? Luke. Luke, you get Luke drunk, Luke might get so angry he can take on the world. And then he comes up and he says, "You know what, Stephen, I'm going to take you on." That's a bad decision, Luke. Bad decision. Stephen decks him, punches his lights out. When he wakes up from that, he says, "Oh, what hit me?" You know what happened? That drink caused him to be so big and bad, but his mouth wrote the check, but he wasn't man enough to cash it. A lot of times that happens. You've seen the little guys do that. So it'll cause a person to act in ways they normally wouldn't if they were sober. Fourthly, wine will cause a person to act in unsafe ways. Look at verse number 34. He says, "Yea, that shall be as he that lieth down in the midst of the sea." What's going to happen if you lay down in the middle of the sea? Bubble, bubble, bubble for a short little time, and then it's over, right? It's not going to work out very well. Or big Mr. Great White's going to come and have him a meal. It's not going to work out. But your reasoning is so distorted, it takes away your good judgment. Or it'll be, he says, as he that lieth upon the top of a mast. I was out on the ship with Nehemiah when he was in the Navy, and that ship had a really tall mast. And, you know, I wouldn't want to lay down on the top of that. Those waves are going. That ship's a-rocking. You get into a storm. If you're laying down on the top of that mast, it's a long ways down to that very hard, still deck. But, you know, when a man is drunk, it takes away his reasoning, takes away his good judgment. Young person, your friends will say, "Oh, it's not really that bad." You know, this here will make you forget about some of your sorrows. It'll make you forget about that girl that dumped you. It'll make you feel better. I'm telling you, do not believe the lie of the devil. Wine will cause a person to wake up and not remember what happened the night before. Any of you that's been drunk, I'm sure you could testify to this. Look at verse 35. "They have stricken me, shalt thou say, and I was not sick. They have beaten me, and I felt it not. When shall I awake? I will seek it yet again." Wine and strong drink will take control. It's number six. Wine and strong drink will take control. It's addictive. The verse says, "I will seek it yet again." It's been well said that a man takes a drink, and then the drink takes a man. A man takes a drink, and then the drink takes a man. Verse 32, "And at the last, it biteth like a serpent, and stingeth like an adder." When a person is bitten by a serpent or an adder, it's not good. The common death adder's venom contains highly toxic neurotoxins, which can cause paralysis or even death. And it delivers the fastest strike among all venomous snakes. Isn't it not a wonder that God compared strong drink, wine, to an adder? They said human death can occur within 6 hours after the bite. Hosea 4:11, whoredom and wine and new wine take away the heart. Then secondly, strong drink is raging. Wow, we're already past preacher's time even. I better kick it in gear. Strong drink is raging. Isaiah 5:11 says, woe unto them that rise up early in the morning, that they may follow strong drink, that continue unto night, till wine inflame them. Isaiah 5:22, woe unto them that are mighty to drink wine, and men of strength to mingle strong drink. Luke 1:15, speaking of John the Baptist, for he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. You know how he could be filled with the Holy Ghost? Because he was empty of wine and strong drink. These two do not go together. You will not be full of the Holy Ghost if you're full of strong drink and wine. Proverbs 31, verse 4, it is not for kings, O Lemuel, it is not for kings to drink wine, nor princes strong drink. When a person begins to drink, many evils begin to follow. And I read a quote here, and I'll give it to you, because there is no secret where drunkenness reigns. This is in concordance with the proverb in verse 30, chapter 31, verse 4, when wine goes in, the secret comes out. Where drink enters, wisdom departs. Drunkenness opens all the sanctuaries of nature and discovers the nakedness of the soul with all its weaknesses and follies. It multiplies sin and discovers them. It makes a man incapable of being a private friend or a public counselor. It taketh a man's soul into slavery and imprisons him more than any vice whatsoever, because it disarms a man of all his reason and his wisdom, whereby he might be cured. Therefore, it commonly grows upon him with age, a drunkard still being more a fool and less a man. Don't touch it. The last part of that verse, whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. I can hear some of you saying right now, oh, I only drink a little, but I would never get drunk. I was speaking to Dan, and he works over at the hospital. And he said alcohol causes many problems at the hospital, ranging from serious health problems like cirrhosis of the liver to anger and discipline issues. I will ask you this. How much wine or beer or strong drink does it take to make one drunk? Commonly heard, two beers, right? You hear that? Pretty common, two beers. So I'd say to you, if you've drank one beer, you're 50% drunk. Luke worked for the Highway Patrol in South Carolina here for 4 years. And he would tell you this, that this serpent bites both rich and poor alike. And he would also tell you this, none who are ever bitten intended to wind up in the cuffs and in the back of that car going to jail. Not a one of them. He also would tell you that when asked, they would all admit that they'd had one or two beers. Why? Because that's when they lost reasoning. That's when they forgot. I will remind you that this sin is sneaky. And when you think you have it under control, then one slip and you're in serious trouble. He tells a story, and I'll repeat the story here. He said there was a man came into the bar over here in Taylor's and began drinking early in the evening. This man drank and drank heavily. About 2 o'clock in the morning, the man steps outside of the bar, lights a cigarette, smokes a cigarette, standing on the sidewalk right there by Highway 29. He said, the man, after he smoked the cigarette, put the cigarette down, and witnesses said they saw a car come down the hill. The man stood and he watched the car. Soon as the car got to where the man was, the man stepped in front of the car and killed himself, committed suicide. Luke gets the call. Fatality. He gets over there to the bar, pulls up, and he's like, oh, no, it's a bar. Always when you're dealing with the bar, it's going to be bad. So he pulls in. The witnesses recount the story to him. He goes to talk to the driver. When he gets over to talk to the driver, the witnesses said, hey, this man was driving fine. Driving speed limit, it appeared, everything. He was in his lane, everything fine. Gets to talking to the man, and the man has alcohol in his breath. Come to find out, he's drunk. Now he's charged with DUI and vehicular manslaughter. 25 years. Young person, you may say, but I would never get drunk. I bet that man probably had drove down that road many a time. Never thought he would get caught. This guy can drive even when he's drunk. He's figured it out. He's got it down. But his day came. This serpent will bite you so quickly and so cruelly. I'm talking about it will destroy the life of anyone that even messes with it. Imagine this, young person. Let's say you're 25 years old. Something like this happens to you. You get 25 years in prison. You realize you're 50 years old when you get out of the prison. That opportunity to get married is past. Opportunity to have kids and watch them grow up is past. When you do get out of jail, you're 50 years old, and nobody wants a 50-year-old beat-down jailbird. You've ruined your life. One slip, serious trouble. Miss Leek is here tonight, and I told her that this was in the message. Brother Leek wrote a song about beer is famous. I wish I had done recording and could let you hear it tonight, but I'll read the words to you. Very powerful song. Listen to these words. He says, sometimes we hear that a certain beer has made Milwaukee famous. But when the truth is known, and by the facts we are shown, and conditions all around us, we soon find out, and I want to tell it about, Milwaukee's not the only place. Beer is famous through the whole wide world for cursing the human race. Beer is famous for producing sin in the lives of those who are swept in, famous to wreck and ruin the lives of little children, husband and wife, famous to make little children thin and to make old bums out of gentlemen. When they said famous, they got it right. It's famous to have a serpent's bite. Beer is famous for breaking up many homes, leaving a mother and her children alone. Oh, we know this. Pastor's a living example of that. Beer is famous for causing fires, famous for producing cursing liars, famous to cause a man to steal, to fight and cut and shoot and kill. When they said famous, they got it right. It's famous to have a serpent's bite. Beer is famous for causing automobile wrecks with bleeding bodies and broken necks. As drunken men down the highway fly to cause the innocent to suffer and die. Famous for robbing a girl's good name as she sells her body to live in shame. When they said famous, they said it right. It's famous to have a serpent's bite. Beer is famous for changing a grocer man's work from a decent job to a beer sales clerk. Changing a restaurant that had respect to a vile beer tavern to ruin and wreck. Changing a home that was nice and neat to the shabbiest, unkept house on the street. When they said famous, they got it right. It's famous to have a serpent's bite. Beer causes lust, adultery, and rape. It's famous for men losing jobs and pay. Famous for children in want and in need. No bread for their mouth, no shoes for their feet. Famous for filling the prisons and jails and sending the souls of thousands to hell. When they said famous, they got it right. It's famous to have a serpent's bite. Proverbs 31:4. It's not for kings, O Lemuel. It's not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes strong drink. And I want to pair it up with the verse over in Revelation 5:10. Where Jesus said, and has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. Kings and priests were forbidden to drink wine. If we are kings, and we are, if we're saved, I believe we would be wise to remember the counsel given to King Lemuel and avoid wine and strong drink. It's famous to have a serpent's bite. One slip. That common death adder has the quickest strike of any snake on earth, any venomous snake on earth. Just one slip. That old serpent bites you, and your life is completely ruined. The destructive nature of alcohol. Let's all stand and have preacher come. Don't mess with it. It is a drink that brings nothing but pain, sorrow, woe, contentions. Nothing about alcohol is good. You may say, but I'll drink and I'll just get rid of all these sorrows and these bad thoughts that are going through my head. I'm hurting right now. Once you sober up, it's still there. It hasn't gone anywhere.
Thank you, preacher. God bless you.